Welcome to the Youth Critic Retrospectives on the Youth Critic Network. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Retrospectives. I am your host, Kale Smith. Joining me today is Gina Versa from the Waffle Press.
Hey, man. Good to see you. How are you doing?
Oh, doing good. I just, we're just watching some good anime. Speaking of anime, what are we talking about today, Gene?
We're talking about Akira. One of the best animes, which I love, and all my friends love too. So, just on that Akira train, or bike rather.
Yes. So, it is an Akira. It's not Akira.
Am I pronouncing it wrong?
I don't know, because in the movie, it's the character or the subject at hand is pronounced Akira, but. Right. I always hear Akira or like Akira, yeah. Kurosawa or something like that. But for now we'll just say Akira. That's fine. So Akira is probably one of the, for those who don't know, it's probably one of the most famous, most celebrated animes of all time. It came out in 1988 and is kind of revolutionary because it was one of the biggest anime films of all, like in terms of budget and scope and production at the time. And it was an even bigger deal because the author who wrote the manga directed the movie and not only directed it, but had full creative control and crafted a... And in my opinion, has crafted a stunning masterpiece that has inspired this kind of the current wave of cyberpunk, if you will. Not only inspired other animes like Ghost in the Shell, for example, but Akira has inspired kind of the Matrix. It's inspired. A little bit of Altered Carbon. I mean, it's inspired the science fiction of today, and some have even jokingly called Chronicle the U.S. version of Akira.
What about that game Cyberpunk? You definitely see that.
I'm sure it does, but I've not played Cyberpunk. I don't really play that many video games, but I'm sure it's somewhere in there. There's some influences in there.
Right. Well, I was gonna say, won't have too much luck getting a PS5 right now, so you know.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played video games in almost 10 years, and I don't think I'm gonna start now. Especially if I would have started earlier, it would have been the current wave of Spider-Man games.
Oh, yeah, those are pretty great. I will say I haven't played the new one, but I really enjoy Insomniac and all their shit. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, I've been watching some of the game plays on Twitter and YouTube, and I've been pretty impressed. Mm-hmm. Been very impressed so far of what I've seen. Wish the Spider-Man movies were as good as the video games.
Yeah, I would say the last Spider-Man game is definitely better from Far From Home.
Mm-hmm. I'm not counting Spider-Verse. Spider-Verse is really great. So Akira, Gene, what is your history with Akira?
Akira I saw about 5 years ago. I was really interested in anime, or was becoming more interested at the time. For that, for it. I believe someone lent me the DVD, so pretty cool. You know, I didn't see it like in the theater. I was gonna say they were gonna release it this year. They were gonna re-release it, I believe, like for some anniversary, what have you. But yeah, with all the theaters.
They did have a small re-release on 4K, for the 4K version.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, that was if you were close to a theater and if you could go to a theater.
Yeah. So yeah, I missed that. I mean, not in California, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe like within the next couple of years, who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I saw it. I think I saw the dub, which, you know, I'm not like some anime fans where they're like, you have to see the subtitles. Like, I mean, whichever, I don't really, you know, it's not like too big of a deal for me if it's subbed or dubbed or whatever.
I've seen it both ways. So, or I've seen the 2001 dubbed version and then the regular subtitle one.
Yeah.
And there's not really that big of, it's not that, you know, you, it's not that big of a difference.
Yeah, just some anime fans are kind of particular about that, so, you know.
I mean, when I watch a foreign language, any foreign language film, I would prefer to see the just subtitle version, because some English dubbed versions of movies just don't work for me.
Yeah.
Because the voices just sound too much like it's cartoon, or it's a cartoon, or it's a character voice.
Mm-hmm.
So
sometimes some anime voice actors are a little, like, you know, I don't want to say bad, but they're very too animated sometimes, I'll say that.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to give it, but it's all more far the direction, I think. It's more, yeah, I mean, it's just, I would just say, you know, start with, I would say either one's fine, although the first time I saw this, it was subtitled.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my history of it is I just saw it last September.
Mm-hmm.
Then I found out it was going to be on 4K, and I'm kind of, or it's going to be on 4K right around this podcast airs, mm-hmm. hopefully. And I was like, well, you know, okay, that's great. I'm going to, you know, I'm getting my 4K set up in right now. And as Gene can kind of see a part of it in the podcast, in our Zoom call, you know, video. but yeah, I just saw it and I was just truly incredibly amazed.
Yeah.
By the vision, the story, the characters, the drama of it all. Like, I mean, it was just, and even most, you know, impressive, just how, I'm gonna butcher this name, but it's just more of how, let me go back to it.
Sure.
Let me go back to it, come on. Because I'm gonna butcher, I have to at least see it.
Yeah.
Kashiro Otomo, the way he and his co-writer Aizo Hashimoto, the way they capture boy insecurity and adolescent fun, and but also, you know, all, but also the socio-political, but also combine that with the socio-political angle of what was happening in what's happening in Neo Tokyo,
mm-hmm.
To put it all together in a 2-hour film.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is like a, you know, this the magna is like a couple volumes as well. So
yeah, I mean, oh yeah, I think it's about, what is it, 2,000 pages or even more?
Something like that. Yeah, it's pretty intense.
So. And that's in the way Kashiro finds his way through it, the material, his own material in adapting, because some people do struggle with adapting their own material sometimes. Mm-hmm. But the way Otomo, you know, finds his way through it and narratively ties the story to, you know, boy insecurity, but also, you know, ties it into, you know, into the, you know, to capitalism, to religion, to ties it all together in this, you know, circle. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just in, you know, and then complete it with this kind of like cathartic religious, you know, overtone of like the birth of the universe, the spiritual ending that, you know, that purifies. It's almost like the film, you know, ends on a baptism.
Yeah.
If you will, it, and the way it purifies everything at the end, it's very unique. It's very unique what Otomo is bringing into the picture.
Yeah.
Because even the people that we're supposed to feel for in the rebellion, they're kind of also controlled by other government sectors. They might be controlled by government sectors.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very morally ambiguous for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, the points that you're making about it, you know, being religious, you know, tying to teen angst. Yeah, you know, I would say that it really got me probably on the path of like other animes like Evangelion, which I'm not sure if you've seen, but it's you know, very very much like Acura in the sense that it's about, you know, these like struggling adolescents, and they're all just awkward and like emotional, and in Evangelion there's a lot of weird religious undertones and creation and all that, so it's, you know, it's very along the same vein right there, man.
Yeah, I have not seen that movie, but what was it called again? I'll write it in my notes.
Oh, it's Neon Genesis Evangelion. It's an anime series, and then it's also like a movie. And the last movie. Oh, yeah,
it's on Netflix, yeah. Isn't it?
Right, it's on Netflix, yeah.
I need to watch it.
Yeah, I think you would like it if you like Acura. It's very, yeah, it's very niche. It's along that same vein. And the movie for that is like also it's they had like a kind of a remake of the whole series and movies, and the movie, the last one, is finally coming out in next year. It took them, so they did a reboot starting in 2007, and the last movie came out like 2012, so it's been 8 years in the making, you know.
Wow. So yeah, kind of an abbreviated version of the Clone Wars thing.
A little bit, yeah. It's a very, you know, fan awaited thing. And also, it's from the guy who did Shin Godzilla. So, not sure if you've seen that, but
I've heard of it.
Yeah, definitely check out that.
Mm-hmm. I need to get back into that.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say though that you know, speaking of Shin Godzilla, because that's such a Japanese-centric view of the world. You also see that in Acura as well. It's very like from their culture, because was it like Tokyo, New Tokyo, I believe?
Neo Tokyo,
excuse me. You know, you could definitely make some comparisons to that, and like kind of the struggles of the Japanese people after World War II, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's even mentioned in that governmental committee scene where they're like, you know, all of these people, like they're trying to pick up the pieces, but after World War III, and they don't really know how to. Do all these different reforms, and then they try to, you know, revoke those reforms. I mean, it's just, you know, trying to get any kind of economic stimulus to happen. All right, so the next thing I have to bring up is Tetsuo.
Mm-hmm.
Tetsuo. So one of the strongest things I really love about Akira is the Tetsuo character. He's the one that goes through this like David Cronenberg like experience.
Body horror, yeah. Definitely. Let's, body horror-esque.
It's not just like the body horror, but it's also like the body horror within the mind. Like he's mm-hmm. experienced, I mean, he goes through the transformation. When he's in the street, he sees like his, you know, body just fall out. I mean, his bodily organs just fall out. I mean, it's like Tetsuo goes through a lot in this one movie, and if there was a flaw in this movie, you can kind of trace how his insecurities get the better of him, but you don't know how that. I don't quite understand know if that really influences his decisions, if you will.
Right.
Like when he decides, okay, now I'm gonna go kill people.
Yeah, I mean, there's some stuff to be desired for that character. I mean, I kind of always like not disagreed, but I think in the Magna, he has a little bit more closure in his character, because it's just like, man, he really gets the short end of the stick there, huh?
Yeah, he just like has uncontrollable power, and Akira just absorbs him in the light.
Yeah.
And then
Kills
that's
his love interest, you
Yeah. Or he becomes like, this expanded just a huge gape huge thing of mass human mass.
know.
He accidentally crushes his girlfriend. Oh
Yeah.
my goodness.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But yes, but Tetsuo, but the reason why I keep going back to him is because his character is probably the most fully developed in his
Right.
relationship with Kanata, and is one of the strongest. And in the third act, there those relationships are always, it kind of like, I don't maybe I'm misremembering, but I don't quite remember how what Kanata's turn is to. I'm here to save my friend, and now I'm going to say, kill my friend.
Right.
Is it after that bar moment, or do you remember?
I just think he just generally gets warped by his power. I don't think there's ever a moment where, he kind of decides to, attack his friend and do all this. I just think he's generally just kind of corrupted, losing his mind.
All right.
And he's just, very insecure and everything the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, Tetsuo is the most developed, and there is this undercurrent tragedy. There's this undercurrent tragedy between Kanata and Tetsuo, in that they're both like these orphan children, just kind of left at the whims of the system. And they both grew up together, but they both grew up like one became kind of a more confident, more into his own, self. Like he more, independent, and then Tetsuo becomes a more, reliant, more not su subservient, but just more dependent on tests on Kanata than he probably wanted. And it's interesting that when you put those powers to, when you give the powers of Akira to that kind of personality, the movie just basically says, yes, that person will basically just become corrupt and destroy everything in its mass. Because, yeah.
Basically. Yeah,
Basically.
sadly.
And then so what about the relay so what about the so what did you think of the relationship between Kanata and the love interests?
Yeah, I think Kanada, just love interest is just, I don't know, it's very like anime sort of love interest, or like it's one of, I don't know, I mean, like she's always trying to look for his attention and everything. She's a little one note, but a little bit, yeah, not the biggest fan of that character.
I thought she had more agency.
Oh really? I mean, it could be wrong, but yeah.
But yeah. So with this adaptation and it being very successful, of course it's going to spawn talks of making a US version. And currently, Taika Waititi is attached to write and direct the U.S. version. What do you think of them a U.S. version of this?
You know, I don't know, like, because he did that. He passed for that to do Thor. So I don't know if he'll ever get back. But if he does, I think he would be really faithful. I don't see him like whitewashing, which was apparently going to go on with the previous adaptions. Like they had like Chris Evans, Joseph Gordon-Levitt lined up, and it's like, no, like it's just like the Ghost in the Shell, where it's like they can't cast authentically, and then you have like just weird fringe internet people saying like, oh well, you know, the way the characters are drawn, like, you know, it's clearly a white person, even though it's just kind of the sort of just sort of the artistic style to have some characters look more Caucasian, but for all intents and purposes they're supposed to be Asian. For a lot of anime, like, you know, Goku, you know, some other characters. But the Taika Waititi version, I think he would be really faithful. I remember reading that he was getting ready to go. Like he had scouting locations in Los Angeles, the metro sort of subway line for a lot of the, you know, subway scenes in it. And I think it really would be something. But again, it could be another one of these development hell sort of things, you know.
Well, and also Taika is working on a Star Wars movie at the same time.
Star Wars, it's going to be long ways until we see that, you know.
Well, to be fair to Taika, he's like juggling like a lot of projects. Like he currently has a movie, Searchlight Pictures now, that has Michael Fassbender in it.
Yeah.
And then he's going to go into he's starting production on Thor right now or next month. And then, I guess Star Wars will be right after that. But I mean, he's becoming more of a workhorse director.
Yeah.
The only problem I have with Taika is I don't know. My problem with Taika and really any director coming into Akira is, can you blend, can you blend the stories together, the themes together of boyhood insecurities with the socio-political reality of capitalism, as well as this movie does?
A lot of stuff.
And the other thing is, and we haven't really quite talked about it, is this is a very violent movie.
Yeah, it's kind of gross in some things. Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the bigger things that, you know, took me by surprise. And I think it mostly is appropriate. Like the violence is kind of it's meant to be visceral.
Yeah.
Like I don't know how you would do that in a PG-13, you know, environment, because the way, you know, so in the opening, there's the character that, you know, is carrying one of the children that have been experimented on and has the power of Akira, and then he is gunned down by cops, and it's just like brutal. Like you just like the animation is just flesh and blood just, you know, being shot out explodingly, and. Yeah. You know, I mean, you don't have to do that necessarily for for every movie, but the reason why it's so powerful is that it just catches you in this visceral way, and it means that this is it's a sci-fi story, but it's a much more this is going to be serious. This is
Let it have some drama to it for sure.
Mm-hmm. I just, you know, and I don't know how you do that for PG-13, and I don't even know how you do. I don't even know, because the problem with Akira 2 is this movie, if you did a live action version of this, it has to be super expensive.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do an expensive PG-13? Akira movie where it's also got to be kind of biting towards, it's got to be biting towards the guy, the guy. It's got to have some bite to it socially. And I just don't know if that's even possible, even in Taika's hands.
I don't know.
Maybe if Bong Joon-ho was directing, I would be,
Maybe, yeah. Director Bong.
But yes. So what more can we say with is there anything more you want to add to this Akira discussion?
No, just definitely see the anime.
I would too. I know Criterion a long time ago released a laser disc, but they haven't like pushed a DVD or Blu-ray of it since, I don't
Yeah.
think.
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah, and but the 4K is coming out, or as of this podcast, it probably is out. And I strongly recommend it. I do wish they did kind of withhold the 4K like theatrical release, because I think this movie would be incredible to watch in the theater.
Yeah, it would be. I would die to see that. Yeah, once theaters come back.
Yes. But my opinion is please watch this. I deeply love it. It's kind of hard to talk about it more because it's not, I've only seen it a couple times, and I tried to watch it a third time, but I'm still, but I hadn't finished the third viewing, so
Yeah.
but yes, so but Akira, everyone, please check it out, and then afterwards listen to the music that's goes from typical cyberpunk awesomeness to very religious, or not religious, but very chorus heavy, a chorus heavy, meditating finale.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna say the music from Uncut Gems definitely reminded me of that. So maybe the Safdie brothers are fans. Who knows?
They probably are.
Yeah.
They probably are. If anything, they've at least seen this once.
Oh, for sure.
Because the thing about Akira is, it leaves an impression on you, even if you've only seen it once.
Yeah.
It's that kind of powerful of a film.
Yeah, I agree.
So with that, is there any more to talk about with Akira?
No, I was gonna say I have an Uncut Gems poster right there, so
I just bought it on
in the back.
Blu-ray.
Yeah, I love that movie, man. It's a year old. Praise
I
Uncut
need
Gems.
yeah I need to rewatch on Uncut Gems, because I saw it when I was getting sick, so I was pumped with a bunch of cold medicine. So while everyone in the theater was on the edge of their seat, I'm just like,
You're dying. You're like going
I'm
in and out.
dying. I'm dying. I'm actually getting the flu in real time, and it's hitting me, and all this cold medicine is like, Adam Sandler's really good here. I wish I was really feeling the emotion. But yeah, so.
Experience.
All right, so with that, Gene, do you have a podcast?
Yeah, you could follow the Waffle Press on Twitter and Instagram. For Twitter, it's at the Waffle Press, and then on Instagram, it's the Waffle Press Podcast. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube. God damn it, Spotify. Check it all out. It's great. And you could follow me on Twitter, Gene9892, which I hope you do.
All right, thank you, Gene. You can follow me on Twitter at Movie Kale, and that's where you'll find links to the Youth Critic Network and Youth Critic Podcast, the Retrospectives. We will be back with more Youth Critic Podcast soon. We'll talk about Mank, Soul, Freaky, Wonder Woman. Yeah, we're going to be talking about some movies very, very soon. We're just wrapping up this retrospective season that I've started back in November. Thanks, Gene. We will be back with everyone very soon with the next retrospective and a couple more podcasts. Thanks, everyone. Awesome.
Cool. Stay safe.
To be able to, because it has already begun.